And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Praise God for yet another day. Folks, I don't care what these leftists do. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. Not glad for what they're doing, but glad in spite of what they're doing, because I know in whom I have believed. Don't you? And so we have hope. When they're flailing around trying to effectively destroy the country and saying all, folks, the level of accusations that are flying around are just absolutely stunning. It's as if these people drop down in the rabbit hole and they don't know that they're in Wonderland. They are living in an unreal world, and they're perceiving things that are completely disconnected from reality. Of course, I'm thinking of these impeachment articles that they've just handed down, their reaction to the president, what the media is saying about him, and so forth. Look, folks, we've got some really serious business to discuss today. But before we get into that, I want to remind you all that you can contact me through my Facebook pages, EWJ, EW Jackson, that is SR, EW Jackson SR, and for my personal page, Bishop EJ. And you can also find me on Twitter still. Stand Foundation is the way you get me there. Remember, I've been banned, but I'm coming back in the name of Jesus. Somehow, some way, I will be back, as you know. To quote a once great movie star, I'll be back. So, yes, I think that I will be back on Twitter. When the time is right, God's going to open that door. That's going to happen. And then I will never be kicked off again, because I shouldn't have been kicked off in the first place. But, of course, that's what they're doing. These are, sadly, big tech is a bunch of far leftists. And unlike American Family Radio, they have no regard for the truth. Our network regards the truth very highly. The truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God. And we mean that. That's serious, folks, with us. But the left is only interested in propaganda. And if the propaganda suits them, then they let it fly, whether it's true or not. And if the propaganda doesn't suit them, suppress it, censor it, whether it's true or not. So, before I get into what I really want to discuss with you today, which is the crazy stuff that's being said about this president and these so-called impeachment articles, and also the IG report that just came down. I should have known, that Horowitz was appointed by Barack Obama. That probably explains the whitewash that we're getting. That probably explains how the IG could come to the conclusion that, yes, the Steele dossier was off. Yes, it was a biased document. Yes, it was used to secure a FISA warrant. But no, there was no bias in obtaining the FISA warrant. What? That doesn't make any sense. They're using biased information. They're using information that's false. They're using information that's been developed for political purposes. But they're not in no way biased by it. And that doesn't make any sense, folks. And so I have to conclude that this IG has got some blind spots there. Although he did, I think, take James Comey to the woods, to the woodshed, I should say, to the woods. Maybe we do take him to the woods. But I think he does take James Comey to the woodshed a bit for his behavior as an FBI director, and well, he should, because I really believe that James Comey is a disgrace as an FBI director, and he's walking around like a proud peacock, like, you know, he's just done everything right, and nobody should have any questions, and he advanced the cause of the FBI and advanced his prestige and his integrity. And here again, folks, completely disconnected from reality. Just completely disconnected. But before I get to that, I just got off of a conference call, which I do weekly on Tuesdays. I should tell you about this before Tuesdays because, of course, now it's going to be a week before the next call happens. But I had a guest, and I'm going to get her on the radio program, named Mary Graber. She's just written a book called Debunking Howard Zinn. And if you haven't heard of Howard Zinn, most of you probably have, but Howard Zinn wrote this abomination called A People's History of the United States. And folks, it is a history book that's found its way into our public schools. And it's Howard Zinn was a communist, but it's found its way into our public schools. He sold 3 million copies. And it, even when the book's not there, his ideas, his thoughts are there. He paints America as brutal, bloodthirsty, exploitive, imperialist, racist, sexist, barbaric, you name it. That this is a horrible country, a horrible country. And folks, while this impeachment situation and the things that are going on in our federal government are of a very immediate nature, books like Howard Zinn need to be banned from our public schools and institutions. I'm not talking about banning the book. People can still be able to get the book. I'm not talking about outlawing the book. But you shouldn't use a piece of trash like that to indoctrinate our children. And that's exactly how it's been used. And now they've got Mary was saying that out in Portland, Oregon, the public school system there has adopted a young people's history of the United States. Yes, it's Howard Zinn's book adapted for young people. So they're indoctrinating them at the youngest possible age with a version of the book designed for young people as opposed to, say, high school students. I mean, so, folks, I'm going to get her on because you need to know about this situation because this book has reached out its wicked tentacles into pretty much every public school system in America. I'm serious about that. And you say that's a broad statement, but I'm telling you, even if the book's not there, the influence of the book is there. And they've got 100,000 teachers signed up for his the Howard Zinn emails where they provide information on an ongoing basis for teachers to take into the public schools to tell their kids how terrible our country is. Folks, this stuff is outrageous. No wonder half the millennials in the country think that socialism is better. And I'll tell you a quick anecdote. I hope I didn't tell you this before, but if I did, some of you are hearing it for the first time anyway. So a young man who was in the Navy, joined my church. Oh, this is about 7 or 8 years ago. Joined my church. He was with me for about 3 years because obviously he was stationed at Norfolk Naval Base. And when his tour of duty was over, he got shipped somewhere else. But he said to me before he left, he said, "Bishop Jackson, when I came to your church," he said, "I came to your church as somebody who was prepared to leave the Navy and work to overthrow this country because I had read Howard Zinn's book, A People's History of the United States, and it convinced me that America was the worst place in the world, that it was a horrible, horrible country that needed to be brought down." And he said that's exactly how he was thinking. How in the world can I be in a Navy for a country like this? How can I accept a system like this system that's been so horrible, so brutal, so bloodthirsty, so disgustingly hateful toward people? And he said, by the time I finished listening to you 3 years later, he said, you awakened me to what America really is. You gave me the true history of America. And he thanked me for having brought him out of what was clearly, folks, some demonic influence. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Science is headed into uncharted territory. That's why we need a reliable science guide to navigate our journey. Dr. Michael Gillen provides that guidance in his book, The End of Life as We Know It. For years, he was an Emmy award-winning science correspondent for ABC News. He was on my radio program to talk about the book and his truth tour. He addresses four areas of concern: the web, The Robot, The Spy, and The Frankenstein. He talks about the incredible benefits we all receive from the World Wide Web. The information superhighway has lots of lanes to important information, but it also has many dark back alleys. He cites one headline that reminds us that sometimes the internet makes us monsters. In his section on robots and artificial intelligence, he once again explains how we have been the beneficiaries of machines that do routine manual labor and free us up from dangerous activities. But he also reminds us that robots are able to do more than merely put bolts on an assembly line and will take away many of our jobs. The section on spy reminds us how our privacy is going away. As one commentator put it, "You have zero privacy. Get over it." And before you merely brush that off, consider what it is like to live in China where cameras and facial recognition keep track of you every single day. His last section reminds us of all the significant benefits we enjoy from science and genetic engineering. Treating and curing genetic disease is admirable, but scientists can now play God by mixing and matching genetic material. Good intentions can quickly morph into dangerous outcomes. I think his book is a good reminder why we need more Christians in the science fields in order to bring ethics and wisdom as science heads into uncharted territory. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Ryan Fisher here. Horowitz's report on the origins of the FBI spy campaign on Trump is as bad as we thought. It exposes 51 violations and 9 lies. The Dems released their 2 articles of impeachment. The vote's next week. More bad news about the Muslim who shot up the Pensacola naval base. And guess who tops the Democrat polls next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. So, folks, the president is now officially impeached. 2 articles of impeachment have now been introduced. Well, I think they've got to have a House vote. But, of course, the Democrats will vote it out. I mean, they will vote for impeachment because they're political hacks. They're not following any kind of higher principles or conscience. They're just full of hatred and disdain, as I've said before, not only for this president. Don't make that mistake. No, it's not only for him. It's for every person who voted for it. Because we are so stupid. We are so ignorant. We are so unenlightened that we would dare vote for President Donald J. Trump. And would dare continue to support him, after all, just because you've got the lowest unemployment rate in decades, just because you've got income per person increasing, per capita income increasing, just because you've got an increase in the labor participation rate, the best labor participation rate that we've had in about 4 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, that doesn't mean anything. Just because we've got a booming economy with that produced 266,000 jobs last month, just because we've got NATO partners paying more of their fair share for our shared allied defense, just because we've got China finally having to be accountable for stealing our technology, creating a trade imbalance because of currency manipulation and high tariffs on our goods coming into China, while we basically have very low or no tariffs on their goods coming into America, just because he's redressing that balance, just because he's doing all these great things for America, trying to secure our border, strengthening our defense and our military. None of that means anything, right? I mean, of course not. Those are just facts. We don't have to pay any attention to those. What we need to pay attention to is the leftists, the progressives, the socialists, the Marxists, dare I say it, the communists, because this is like a communist show trial. Just listen to them. That's all you need. They say the president's a bad guy. That's all you need, right? You don't need anything else. You don't need to know anything else. In fact, you know, facts don't matter. So they brought two articles of impeachment against the president. One is abuse of power, and the other is obstruction of Congress. Now, first of all, folks, where has he abused his power? You know what? If anything, it is this Congress, it is these Democrats that are abusing their power by trying to undo the 2016 election, because we all know that that's all they're up to. And, you know, think of the precedent that they're setting. Is this what we're supposed to do now? So when a president from the opposite party gets elected, it becomes part of the normal way of dealing with that president to impeach him or her. Hadn't been a her yet, but I have no doubt there will be one at some point. So, but is that the way we deal with them now? So you deal with policy differences by trying to impeach the president, trying to overthrow and undo the election? That's the precedent they're setting. Because abuse of power, what abuse of power? They can't show us one instance where this president broke a single law. Not one. Not one. And the president's has a right to negotiate with and to talk to foreign leaders. Look, it has been well established. This president, and God bless him for it, looks at our foreign aid with skepticism. And I'm glad he does, because I believe that we have probably squandered hundreds of billions of dollars of the American taxpayers' money financing regimes that are totally corrupt and don't deserve a dime of that money. And this president is skeptical of that. Good for him. And if part of what we're doing is enriching greedy politicians, Republican or Democrat, if what we're doing is enriching greedy politicians with taxpayer money because they can run over to some foreign country and use their connection to a relative to get favored status and treatment and make and become millionaires, gazillionaires by trading influence. If that's what we're spending our money to do, put money in their pockets, of course the president ought to want to get to the bottom of that. And you know, they keep saying, well, the president of the United States said, I want you, he asked Ukraine to help him with the 2018 election. That's a lie. He never said any such thing. He never said any such thing. What he said was, I want you to get to the bottom of what happened with Joe Biden and his son. And I wish somebody would get to the bottom of it, because I haven't seen or heard anything about Hunter Biden that would convince me that he's so brilliant that he ought to be paid $50,000 to $80,000 a month as an energy consultant when he knows nothing about the industry. I mean, as somebody said, if his name was Joe Schmo, you think he'd have gotten that gig? So yeah, I do want somebody to get to the bottom of that. I mean, look, I want somebody to get to the bottom of Hillary Clinton selling our uranium deposits to these Russian oligarchs in return for $150 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation and a $500,000 speaking fee to her husband, Bill. I'd like to get to the bottom of all this stuff. I don't think Americans ought to be selling us out to foreign countries because they happen to have relatives who have influence here, or for any reason for that matter. I don't think, maybe I should put it this way. They shouldn't be allowed to sell us out. Americans shouldn't be selling us out for any reason, but they shouldn't be allowed to sell us out. It shouldn't be made easy. And yes, we do need to get to the bottom of it. And if something crooked has been done, yes, Hunter Biden and maybe even his father need to be brought to trial and charged with whatever the appropriate charge is. But this president merely had a conversation. And suddenly this is impeachable? Yeah, I tell you what, if anybody's abusing power, it is Jerry Nadler, it is Nancy Pelosi, it is Adam Schiff, a.k.a. Andy Kaufman. They're the ones who are abusing power. One-sided show trials, secret hearings and meetings, and polemic that has absolutely nothing to do with the facts. Ambassador Sondland, did you ever hear anyone suggest that there was a quid pro quo and that was the basis upon which foreign aid should be withheld from Ukraine? No. Well, why are you saying it? I presumed. You're going to impeach a president because the very best witness you've got is only able to say, I presumed? That's abuse of power. And then obstruction of Congress? Obstruction of Congress? You want to know what's an obstruction? Did you see Jerry Nadler gaveling down every Republican for every question they asked about a point of order? When this guy Goldman got up to ask questions, who apparently had been a witness for the Democrats, and now he's a questioner for the, he's basically on both sides. I said, folks, that's like a prosecutor getting on the stand and testifying against a defendant and then getting up and saying, okay, well, now I'm going to prosecute you. You can't do that. I mean, either you're a witness or you're an attorney or a prosecutor. You can't be both. That's completely contrary to our system. There's a conflict there. If you're a witness for a certain side, well, of course, as an advocate, you're going to advocate for that side. But the problem is that being a witness allows you to introduce evidence which you can then bring to bear to get the outcome you want. That doesn't make any sense, folks. But this is how they're conducting this process. Obstruction of Congress. First of all, to be very honest, this bunch of yahoos needs to be obstructed. I mean, seriously, they really do, because they are completely out of control. But aside from that, obstruction of Congress, first of all, they haven't read the Constitution, and they don't seem to understand that the president represents a separate and co-equal branch of the government, that the only cooperation he really owes Congress is statutory cooperation and adherence to the laws that Congress passes. That's it. That's it. He doesn't have to give them information. He doesn't have to surrender his files. He's not required to do that. Particularly where you have executive privilege at play, and you've got the president's ability to have full and frank discussions with foreign leaders at play. I mean, come on. Obstruction of Congress, please. Folks, I'm going to come back and take your calls. 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Proverbs 16:20, he who gives heed to the word will prosper, and happy is he who trusts in the Lord. Interesting verse of scripture, isn't it? Some time ago, I read in the papers an account of a man in Phoenix, Arizona, who had rented an apartment but couldn't move into it because he'd lost it. Actually, he couldn't find it. It seems that Charles Rowland had sold his photo finishing business in Appleton, Wisconsin, and moved to Phoenix. Upon his arrival in Phoenix, Rowland checked into a hotel, and that same day he found an apartment and paid 1 month's rent in advance. However, he drove away without noting the address. Well, after 14 hours of driving around the city to locate the apartment, he notified a local paper of his plight. The fellow who had rented the apartment to Rowland read the article and called him at the hotel. It seems that the apartment was just 2 blocks, a couple of minutes, away from the hotel. Then there's the case of Dr. Ellis Schenken of Toronto. Dr. Schenken was punched in the eye, and as a result, he lost one of his contact lenses. Dr. Schenken, unable to find the lens, got fitted for another soon thereafter. But the eye in which Dr. Schenken got punched kept discharging, and his new lens kept popping out. Well, it should have. You see, the lens which Dr. Schenken searched for but couldn't find had been pushed into his eyelid, where it remained unnoticed. While a student in school, I worked in a grocery store to help defray my expenses. As I was stocking the shelf one day, a gentleman kept walking up and down the aisle looking for some product. Finally, he stopped in the section where the product should be. And after looking for quite a while for the product, he asked me if I knew where the product could be found. Reaching to the spot where he'd been looking for several minutes, I picked up the product and gave it to him. His comment? If it had been a snake, it would have bitten me. It wasn't long after that till I began a search early one morning for my glasses. After searching for several minutes about the house and failing to find them, I began to accuse one of the children or my wife of misplacing them. Seeing I was about to lose what little temper I had, Linda started searching with me. She came into the room where I was searching and started to speak, only to have a wide grin come across her face. "Go look in a mirror," she said. I took the hint and suddenly realized that I was wearing the glasses I had so desperately been hunting. You know, isn't it rather funny sometimes how we can search high and low for something and then end up finding it in a place where it should have been so simple to find? These four stories could be multiplied by countless individuals who have searched for something only to find it in a place so close by. Now, there's a truth here that could be applied to countless realms. But for the sake of simplicity, let's try just one. Happiness. It's right where you are, if you can find it.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, this impeachment thing is as bogus as it gets. The number is 888-589-8840. What do you think? I do want to know. And, you know, I cannot help but bring this up. You've probably heard me bring it up before, but I just think it's an interesting contrast. Barack Obama approached the African countries and Caribbean countries which were receiving aid from the United States of America and said to them that their aid would be curtailed, withheld, cut, unless they accepted same-sex marriage. Now, if the standard is, well, President Trump tried to get the president of the Ukraine to do something for his personal benefit that was not in the interest of the American people. Well, I want to ask you a question. I mean, to the extent that we're giving foreign aid, is telling a country that they're going to have that foreign aid cut, assuming that we're giving that foreign aid in our interest, telling a country that they're going to have that foreign aid cut unless they agree with same-sex marriage, because you as a president happen to think that that's a cause celeb and that's something very important to you? Is that in the best interest of the American people? But he did it. And folks, I spoke to the wife of the vice president of Kenya at an event and asked her about it. And she told me point blank, I think her husband is planning to run for president. may have already gotten elected, for that matter, I'm not sure. But she told me point blank. They told him, you could take that back to America. We're not having it here. They told him to his face, no. No, the people of Kenya don't believe in that. So was that an abuse of power? In my view, it was. But let me say, having said that, I don't think that's impeachable. I think it's stupid and wicked and twisted and evil and perverse. But, you know, I mean, I don't think he broke any laws other than the law of God. And he'll answer to that one. You know, in fact, that's even more serious than impeachment. But and here's this president in a country that's known for its corruption, Ukraine, asking to get to the bottom of allegations of corruption between Ukraine and a former vice president and his son. And you're going to tell me that's an abuse of power? Give me a break. I mean, folks, that's as ludicrous as it gets. And you know what? I'll say one other thing. One other thing, and then I'll come right to your calls. I just feel in my gut that the American people are watching this and listening to this all over this country and watching the economy grow, watching their businesses thrive, seeing their kids get jobs, and are thinking to themselves, this bunch of idiots in Congress are trying to destroy a man who's doing nothing but looking out for this country. And you know what? I believe they're going to get hit with a tsunami in November 2020 that is just going to absolutely devastate them. I believe that. I believe you're going to have people voting who have never voted before because they've watched this unfairness and they thought, these people are really trying to destroy our country. They hate our country. They hate the American people. They don't like us. They don't like our voting. They think they know better than we do. And you know what? We're going to show them. And folks, that's my prediction. That they think they're going to get rid of this president. What they're doing right now, in my view, is cementing not only his reelection, but a landslide reelection. Let's go to your calls. Wow. Thank you for your patience. We've got Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Bishop Jackson. I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas there.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you.
On the Democrats, what they're doing, they're the ones committing the crimes because they are tying up all of our taxpayer money and they're not doing anything for the people that need help on, you know, funding of anything, like the wall and stuff. But what I'm trying to get at, I did call the Attorney General and I left him a message saying, how deep does the swamp have to get before somebody drowns? And so I hope and pray that this will eventually get over with so that the taxpayers can get some assistance in other fields, like our schools are over being taken by the LBJQ. And, you know, it's just so much things that are happening that they want everybody focusing on this. But I would like to make one more statement. Congressman Steve Watkins of Kansas, they had him on fake news saying he was a voter fraud, and he was not. And I called the office and talked to him, and they said that they had did something to his address and messed it up, but he's legit. There's nothing he did wrong, and I wanted to say that on American Family Radio. So people in Kansas, don't believe what they said about Congressman Steve Watkins. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
All right, bye-bye. Mary. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. And look, you're right. They are, I tell you, they are the ones who, in my view, are violating the spirit of the Constitution and perhaps even the letter, because I don't believe impeachment was ever intended to be used in the kind of abusive, perverse way that they're using it right now. Let's go to Billy in Missouri. Billy, welcome.
Hey, Bishop Jackson. Thank you so much for taking my call. Not to play a devil's advocate, but I did vote for Trump. I feel that I have made a mistake, Bishop Jackson. I don't know if he's done these things, but it all went back for me to the him not releasing his tax returns. I was a little worried there, and I just want to talk to you and see you know, where do we kind of go from here? Is this a bad spot that we're in? You know, what does it look like from here in a best case and worst case scenario?
Well, Billy, let me ask you this. So the thing that most bothers you is that he didn't release his tax returns?
It did bother me, yes.
Okay. And now you realize that's not legally required or anything. It's just something that has become a tradition that some presidents do, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do realize that.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Billy, I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing your honest perspective on it. Folks, I will say this. When you have a fortune approaching $10 billion, okay, your tax return is going to be extremely complex. Extremely complex. And when you are dealing with people who you know are out to get you, you know they're not going to look at those tax returns and, oh, well, you know, that's interesting. Well, there's a little question here. No, they're going to comb through those tax returns and do exactly what they're doing in these impeachment hearings. Anything they can find to nitpick, they are going to nitpick. They are going to get forensic accountants going through it and finding anything they can. I mean, does anybody doubt, for example, that this whole impeachment process is based upon what the left wants to interpret based on a conversation that I interpret as being perfectly appropriate, perfectly innocent? I don't see anything untoward about it. The president didn't say, if you don't do this for me, I'm not doing this for you. Even if he had, frankly, I don't even think that would have been illegal. Because the president does determine where foreign aid goes. And I think now if he had said, look, if he had said what Adam Schiff made up, Adam Schiff, the lying Adam Schiff made up, which was, I want you to find dirt on my opponent and I want you to find lots of it so you can help me in my reelection. I mean, nothing even approaching that was ever said. So I'll tell you something. Billy, I support the president not releasing his tax returns because I believe if he had released those tax returns, that would have just, it would have opened Pandora's box. And I just don't, as far as I'm concerned, I don't see it. I don't see that it was necessary. This man has been a public figure for a long, long time. We know something about his assets because he's been in the media. We know something about his business because you can see, since he's in real estate, you can see the effects of his business all over the country and all over the world. His not releasing his tax returns didn't bother me at all. In fact, I thought, based upon the atmosphere we're in right now, good for him, because all he would have been doing is giving his enemies ammunition. So that's how I see it, Billy. But Billy, the economy is booming. And you know, Jesus said, by their fruit shall you know them. I really believe that the reason why we didn't see a booming economy under Barack Obama is that Barack Obama has the wrong ideas about the country and Trump's got the right ones. Back in a moment.
I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, used to live there. So the Packers are playing the Bears and the cheerleaders are there and everybody's cheering. But when the Bears are down by 31 points at the beginning of the fourth quarter, the Bears cheerleaders are no longer cheering V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. They're still there and they're still smiling and they're still building a pyramid, but they've changed the cheer.
You want to encourage your child, but when they don't succeed, you may not know what to do. Dr. Kathy Cook has this suggestion on Focus on the Family Minute.
You have to change the cheer. You have got to stop saying to your child, you can do it, if you have no evidence they can.
Huh.
Because that robs the child of any hope. In the heart of the parent is that they would succeed, but you guys, it's not about your need for them to succeed, it's about who are your children. Change the cheer.
Some great advice to change your cheer to give your child the hope and encouragement they need, especially when failure sets in. Hear more from Dr. Kathy at FamilyMinute.org.
News with a Christian perspective. American Family News.
Steve Jordahl reports.
Dan Gaynor of Media Research Center says
CNN has become a political network.
Top-notch reporting.
Open Doors has identified the countries where it is most dangerous and difficult to be a Christian. AFN's Bill Bumpus has more.
As it has in the past several years, the report shows a dramatic increase in the persecution of Christians.
Insightful coverage. American Family News.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wesling, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. J.J.'s helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal, but you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with 400,000 members. They've shared over $2 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. And with MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And that's a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And folks, while there's some argument that the IG has somewhat whitewashed this whole thing, because it's a fundamental premise that the Steele dossier did not in any way bias the FBI investigation, which I think Attorney General Barr disagrees with that. I disagree with that. But here's what he said about James Comey. Quote, former Director Comey failed to live up to his responsibility by not safeguarding sensitive information obtained during the course of his FBI employment, and by using it to create public pressure for official action, Comey set a dangerous example. Here's another one. Comey said he was compelled to take actions. If I love this country, if I love this country, I love the Department of Justice, I love the FBI, AG goes on to say, the IG, that is, goes on to say, however, were current or former FBI employees to follow the former director's example and disclose sensitive information in service of their own strongly held personal convictions, the FBI would not be able to dispatch its law enforcement duties properly. And it goes on, folks, condemning the behavior of Jim Comey, who's going around preening about how he's been vindicated. I mean, it's a little bizarre. Okay, let's go back to the lines. We've got Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome. Joe, you're on.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to thank you again. You probably remember me, the carpenter that said you nailed it.
Thank you, Joe. Are you breaking up on us?
No, I just want to thank you for your clarity of words. I've been listening to the impeachment go back and forth, and the lawyers speak, and they're all using the same words and creating their own definitions, and it makes you crazy. But then when you come on the air and I listen to you, it just makes me feel so much better. I'm a carpenter, so I can listen to them during the day, and I'm cheering 1 second and wanting to fight the next minute. And it's just the way it is. They use this. It's amazing how they all use the same words.
It is.
Just
it really
definition.
Yep, Joe. You know that tells you, brother. Somewhere along the way, there is something going on behind the scenes that they all use exactly the same phrases. That's chilling. But Joe, thanks for the call. We appreciate that, and thank you for the compliment. Doing the very best I can. You all pray for me. Let's go to Jerry in Texas. Jerry, welcome.
Howdy. How are you doing this morning or this afternoon?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Same thing, brother. Real Amen. Quick question. I'm not a lawyer. I'm in college now for construction management. And so I have a military background. And so, but I've always known that even in construction, if I want to work and I have an agreement with somebody that's going to give me money, and then I find out, or they find out, that I may not be a great person, that they can always, before they give me the money, decide that, to go a different route. They don't have to necessarily give me the money because new information that came up or whatever. So I don't understand why Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and Nadler and all these other people are using the line of, well, he was withholding congressionally approved funding. But once again, he is a separate co-equal branch of the government. You may approve the funding and get me if I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, brother. But just because the money has been approved and allocated doesn't mean that the president has to give it if new information is given. Just as if a bank were to say, well, we were going to give you this loan, but we found out by doing a deeper background check that you have had shady dealings in the past. So therefore, we're not going to give you the loan. Am I incorrect in believing that? I'll go absolutely. And I'll let you answer that.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Jerry. Look, the president is not obligated to send that money to any foreign entity. The fact that Congress has appropriated the money means it's available, because you're absolutely right. What if the society collapses? What if there's a collapse of the government? Well, that's too bad. The president is required to send that money from Congress. Well, first of all, it's not Congress's money. The money belongs to the American people. And no, he is not required to send money to a collapsed state. So, yeah, the president, as the executive, as the head of the executive branch, has discretion to how those funds are dispersed and when they are dispersed and under what circumstances they will not be dispersed. But, you know, they're not even making that argument. They're making the argument that he didn't disperse them only because he was looking for a personal favor from the president of Ukraine to help him defeat Joe Biden, I guess. And you know what? I don't think the president needs anybody to help him defeat Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's going to defeat himself by acting like the dunce he is. I mean, the guy's not playing with a full deck. And I'm not commenting on his age. I think that's always been true. You know what, folks, you find out? Let me not wax on here because I want to get your calls in. You know, a lot of these people who serve us in office, now I'm not making a broad statement, but a lot of them, particularly on the left, they ain't that smart. I mean, they really aren't. You begin to realize, you know what? What they're doing is not rocket science, and they're not even doing that very well. Oh, let's go back to the lines. We've got Laura in Ohio. Laura, welcome. Laura, you're on.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, with this whole impeachment thing, it's just ridiculous. And I think that they're also trying to, like, protect their view on the Supreme Court because, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the poor woman, she looks like she's about ready to collapse, you know? And so I know that they're probably worried about that too, as well as the election coming up. You know, if they can get him to not be elected, then they don't have to worry, you know, about putting another conservative in the Supreme Court. And also, the poor man, he's working for free for us. And I feel terrible for him. And that's just all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, Laura. Pray for him. The president needs our prayers because he is doing, in my view, the most difficult job in the world, because not only is it complex and hard and dangerous, but he's got all of these fruitcakes that he's got to try to somehow get through in order to do his job, like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and a bunch of others. And so, yeah, God bless him. The man's got fortitude that is just unreal to put up with all of that. But I guess when you run for president, I would assume most people run with the understanding it's a tough job and they expect to be tough enough to deal with whatever comes against them. But I'll tell you what, I've never seen the kind of stuff come against any president that's coming against this one. And that includes Barack Obama with all the whining about race, please. He got a pass because he was the first black president in many ways. Yeah, I said it and I mean it because it's the truth. It's the truth. Some of that stuff he pulled, if he weren't black, he'd have had a lot more trouble. But everybody's walking on eggshells. You can't say, be careful. He's the first black president. You don't want to be called a racist. Oh, brother. Okay. Well, listen, they can say what they want about me. They're a little loath to call me a racist, but there are other names they can use. But I'm going to tell the truth anyway, okay? Let's go to Andrew in Virginia. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. So first, I'll start by saying I do not believe any of President Trump's actions are impeachable on this front or should be impeachable. Second, I'll say this is not a court of law. So the standard of innocent before being proven guilty is not applicable. This is a political trial. So anyone saying innocent before proven guilty doesn't really understand the impeachment process. Third, I would disagree with you that it violates the spirit of the Constitution because the high crimes and misdemeanors refer to anything that a person in a high office should not commit. So there's that. And I guess finally, being a politician is very hard. One needs to be very smart, sir. In your own history, you ran for public office and you were not successful. Good for you for running, but it does take a lot of intelligence to actually be there.
Well, listen, I appreciate the little slap at me there, Andrew. But look, running for office and winning for office, as you know, requires a lot of factors, a lot of factors. And there are places and circumstances in which very, very smart people can't get elected because the demographics just aren't there. I mean, right now, sadly, Virginia has been moving in the leftward direction. So my Congressman Randy Forbes, got defeated after being elected many, many times because redistricting changed the nature of his district. So there are a lot of factors that go into this. And, of course, the person who beat me, Ralph Northam, we didn't know that he was dressed up in a Ku Klux Klan uniform. We didn't know that he wore blackface. All we knew was that he wouldn't shake my hand. And we certainly didn't know that at that time that he was prepared to kill a baby even born alive. So, you know, and then he got a lot of money from the left coming out from outside the state like a lot of people did. So I'm not making excuses for myself. I mean, I ran. I'm proud of the fact that I ran. I wasn't successful, but this goes to a lot more than intelligence. But let me come back to this thing you said. Well, it's not a criminal trial. You don't understand America, apparently, there, Andrew, because even though technically it is not a criminal trial, we have traditions of due process in our country. Those traditions are based on notions of fairness. And whether it's a criminal trial or not, those notions of fairness are still applicable. And so one of those notions of fairness is that you have the right to a presumption of innocence. That happens even in a civil trial. Now, the standard of proving that you are negligent or reckless or whatever allegations being made in a civil trial, the standard of proof is different, but you still begin that trial with the notion that you are not liable until it is proved. And so the same, you're saying that there will be a different standard in an impeachment? Oh, no, the president's guilty and we don't need to prove anything. I mean, so clearly you can't be arguing that. And I think the argument you made just suggests a misunderstanding of our country. But at any rate, folks, listen, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for the calls that didn't agree with me. I appreciate that. I'd love to be challenged. Keep doing it. And in the meantime, remember, for those of you who do agree, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.